I met the Tiger Man the Saturday before my first Sunday as pastor of a church in Porter Square, Cambridge, Massachusetts. It was 1981. I was building bookshelves in my office when I became aware of a heavy breathing presence standing in the only doorway leading into and out of my office. I turned and laid eyes on David Young, a.k.a. the Tiger Man. He was everything my friends had warned me I would see in the big city. He stood 5'10", and most of his 250 pounds was concentrated in his heavy shoulders and weightlifter arms. Long, unwashed black hair strewn carelessly over his shoulders. His thick mustache was trimmed, to the extent that it was trimmed at all, at a peculiar angle. One side was a good half-inch lower than the other. Beneath this Fu Manchu askew was a carefully calculated, gap-toothed scowl. Covering his arms, chest, and back were tattoos, 21 in all, of tigers in every conceivable pose, but always with an evil look in their eyes and blood dripping from their teeth. The world's biggest dog, a Great Dane, was standing at his side. Its name was Elvis, I kid you not. The Tiger Man stared at me for a very long moment, then looked around my office, studying the boards leaning against the wall and the tools scattered on the floor. Without saying a word, he picked up a 2x4 and laid it across two sawhorses. Then he took what had once been a white handkerchief from his pocket and wrapped it around his fist. I wasn't sure what that was for, but I'd once seen someone do that in the movie just before he shoved his fist through a plate glass window. Suddenly, with a quickness I would not have expected for a man his size, the Tiger Man raised his fist and brought it down in a hammer-like motion, breaking the 2x4 into two more or less equal pieces and sending splinters flying in all directions. I felt the blood drain from my face. He still had not spoken a word. Coolly going about his business, he picked up one half of the splintered 2x4 and laid it across the sawhorses. Arranging himself a half step closer, standing perpendicular to the project, he brought his right elbow crashing down, and a second 2x4 was shortened by half. Beads of sweat broke out on my brow. The Tiger Man stepped back and surveyed his work. Elvis seemed pleased. An image flashed into my mind. My right arm was stretched across the sawhorses, and the massive elbow of the hairy-lipped giant was poised like a guillotine to shorten my reach so as not to exceed my grasp. But to my great relief, the demonstration was over. The Tiger Man tried to maintain his look of glowering intimidation, but I thought I saw a trace of boyish pride in his eyes. "I used to do that with my head," he said, "but I'm out of shape." He didn't say that like it was funny, so I didn't laugh. Over the next few years, the Tiger Man came by my office many times to do handiwork, and for a while, he lived in a makeshift room I built for him in the steeple of our church. The Tiger Man taught me some of the hardest, truest lessons I ever learned about life, not the least of which is you can't judge a man by the number or the nature of his tattoos.